Tonight I want us to look at how to deal with difficulties. Now folks, difficulties can be tremendous to the point of, you know, it's heartbreaking and it's breaks our spirit. When I deal with difficulties, they come in every level of severity. But let's look at it, because it doesn't matter what level that difficult situation in our life is. We need to understand, doesn't matter. See, Christ is always the answer. It doesn't even matter if for the people who don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, Christ is the answer to all the difficult periods within our life. It is the Lord that will give us His Word within our heart as Christians. And it is the Lord who gives His Word when proclaimed from pulpits, radios, or from members of the church that are sharing Christ and the peace that we know that we have, and we share that peace. John 16, verse 33, Jesus is speaking, and He says, "In this world you will have trouble." I've done many sermons focusing on what Jesus says. "In this world you will have trouble." No ifs, ands, or maybes. You're going to have difficult times in your life. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So, in the world where there is trouble, Christ is letting us know, I want you to take heart, because I'm the overcomer of the world. You and I attempt to be the overcomer of the difficult things within our life, many times because we don't want to bother someone, many times simply because we don't know how to deal with difficult things within our life. Our mind, our brain wants to give us the, this is what you need to do, Larry. And yet Christ is the one who says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Therefore, I know that it is through Christ that whatever difficult problem that I'm dealing with, it is through Christ that it will be overcome. Not through how I think it should be, not from a psychology standpoint. It is Christ, because He said, I have overcome the world, and your trouble is a worldly trouble. Now, 2 Corinthians 6:4, Apostle Paul is saying, in everything we show that we are God's servants by enduring troubles, hardships, and difficulties with great patience. Now, why do I become patient when my patience is, you know, just not really that solid? But in Christ, I understand that whatever is going on in the difficult parts of my human existence, I need to be patient, because God has everything in my life that is going on with me and with you, that He knows this has got to happen in order, Larry, that I might grow you to the next step, that I might entrust to you my word, and in entrusting it to you, you have to go through the trials and the tribulations and the hardships. How do you minister to someone who is going through different problems within their life if you've never dealt with those problems? You see, that's why Jesus came. People were saying, well, God cannot relate to the human existence. Well, God already knew that. But God's the one who had the plan. Therefore, in order for me to be able to relate to my most chosen and blessed creation, the human race, I must become human. And in that human focus that Christ showed us as He walked on earth, during that period of time, He felt the hurt. He cried. He laughed. He joked. Now, the jokes of that period were different from the jokes of today. But again, you know, when he's jumping at them, and I keep telling you that I can picture him shaking his head about his disciples and their dumb actions, I can picture them laughing together. Many have said, you know, Christ cannot relate to us because you never hear where he's laughing. Well, Jesus laughs all the time. The biggest laugh for him is when we said, Lord, these are my plans. I want to show you how that I can do this through my plan. I guarantee you that's a belly laugh from Jesus for us to think that we know more and know better for our life than our Creator does. So God said, Son, and this was planned, if you'll read, you know, before even there was a world, before anything was, God knew this is what way it was going to be. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, the patience part is, the patience that Christ has is unending towards us. You know, there's never a point, as long as we can draw breath in this human body, that Christ is not ready, being patient with us, to kick that bad sin in our life. I call them that, you know, our chosen sin. It's our, you know, our most popular sin for us, and it could be anything. But and what you're seeing as the sin in your life, it becomes sin because you're under conviction for it. You know, I've heard you all say, when I joked about cigars and all, you know, how get around it, you know, I don't see where that was a problem. It wouldn't have been with you, but it was with me. It was with me. So therefore, you recognize that, but it's through Christ's patience with us. Here's how I see this in my life, is that the Lord has a ministry for all of us. We know that. We believe that. But the Lord also has the great finale. When you're watching fireworks, you just think that that is amazing. I see that God has patience with us because of his Son, Jesus. And Jesus has been through the human part. So therefore, him sitting next to God the Father and praying on our behalf, I sort of like that idea. Well, as he looks to our heart, the great finale of our life, is it that focus on Christ has something big for each of us to do just before we leave this body? Or a period of time before we leave the body. We serve him, and we have all of these ministries that God has given us through our life. But God wants us to go out with the great fireworks in a blaze of glory. You know, going out with, all right, what do I remember about that individual? Have you ever thought about this? People don't care about all the stuff I got into in my younger years or in the Marine Corps and all that. That doesn't bother people. What the people are looking at and what will bother the people right now is, what are you doing with your life right now? Are you still going back into that world that you were? What are you doing right now? That's what we want to pay attention to. They cannot remember all the bad things I did as a teenager. Certainly because there probably wasn't but one or two. The things that we do remember, we can't. I guarantee you, and none of us in here can remember all the bad things we did. But the Lord says, look, I love you. Folks, think of that love. He loves us so much, he's coming back to get us. Now, think of that. I don't have to worry about hell. I don't have to worry about the power of Satan. The power of Satan has already been beaten down. Hell was accomplished for me not to go there by Jesus on that cross. And when I said yes to him, then I'm guaranteed, as he says, count it as though you're already there. And that's what we need to do as Christians. So therefore, Lord, what I didn't do over the years that you were giving me that ministry as a young person or in that early life that I didn't do, I still belong to him. So, you know, I can hear the voice of the Lord, hear the voice of the Lord saying, let's go out in style, Christian style. Folks, all the good we can do will never get us to heaven. No, it didn't have a thing to do with it. It's good that we do good things, but it's only good that we do good things when we do those good things for the right reason. Now, but the Lord is looking. Is he keeping score? Folks, listen to me. I am a Christian. There's no such thing as keeping score, because Jesus said, I paid for your sins, past, present, and future. God's not setting up our saying, Randy Kidder did it again. We got him. Put an X on that one. No. Only thing that is, it means something in heaven is the blood of the Lamb. I plead the blood. But Lord, I've been such a good person over there. You're not going into heaven with a lie. Wasn't it God who says, I know now that there is nothing good in the heart of man? And then the translation says, and God was sorry that he made man. I think there's some mess up in that particular translation, and everybody grabbed hold. God knew what we would do in the process of creating us. But that could very well be him saying, from the human standpoint, I'm sorry I made you, Larry. Because as Christians, you and I, we're in a human body, but we are not human. Huh? Got it? The real us in here, we're going to fly away. We will never die. Okay. Gosh, did I get on one verse? Folks, I am so excited over who Christ is and the love that he has given and the hope that he wants everyone to grasp hold of. And to understand that we're watching a nation that is messed up. And it's not the mess up of politicians. It's the mess up of the church. It's the mess up of people say, well, Muslims are taking over the world. Sin has already took over the world, folks. What are the Christians doing about the ministry Christ has given us in our own little community? The Lord didn't call me in and tell me to go on a foreign mission. I didn't think until I walked across the street. And then I found, Lord, I'm in a foreign mission field. Because there are many people, folks, who are so angry against a God they say doesn't exist that you go and you start, and I've reminded you all of this. Don't go say, you know what John 3:16 says. No, they don't know what John 3:16 says. Neither do they know what John 3:16 says any more than they know who said John 3:16. So let me get to something. Number one, dealing with difficult things, here's what we need to focus on. Determine the reason why. Determine the reason of the difficulty. Ask yourself this. What caused this? And don't forget to start at home. And in the home part, I'm talking about inside of us, who we are. What's the reason that I'm having all this difficulty within my life, within the family, within this or within that? Psalm 73:16-17. I tried to think this problem through. Now listen to David here. But it was too difficult for me until I went into your temple. David goes into the temple and gets a word from God, right? Okay. When Christ came and died for us on that cross, do we not hear now that my body is the temple of God? My body is a temple. Until I go inside into the temple of God, which is my body, then I am not going to be able to deal with difficult times or the problems. So what's your problem, Larry? Probably because I'm trying to deal with it myself. David said, I tried to think. I think that's one of the first problems that we'll ever have when it comes to the in-depth need that we have. We try to think it out. You can't think it out. The more I think, the worse my headaches become. And then the more I think and then read the scripture, I get mad at myself because I knew I should have read the scripture before I started thinking. But David says, but, you know, it's too difficult until I went into the temple. Our temple walks around with us. You get up in the morning, you say, good morning, temple. And then when your temple decides it's hard to get out of that bed, just lay there and pray for a while. Talk to the Lord. Here are the common mistakes that we make. We listen to bad advice. Anybody ever got bad advice? Yeah. Acts 27:11. Now, what I did on this. This is the trip from the Apostle Paul being locked up, going to Caesar, going to Rome. This is going to focus on his trip and the situations in his life headed for Rome. So therefore, the bad advice, he was on a boat. Well, 276 people on that thing, but so it was bigger than a boat. Okay, let's say he was on a big boat, right? And then that big boat's about getting ready to sink. So as that boat is getting ready to sink, the centurion, the guy that was accompanying Paul, and you know the pilot of the ship and the owner was there, and they said, "Here's what we want you to do, Paul. But listen to it, or here's what we've decided to do." Acts 27:11. But the centurion, this is where Paul said, "You got to listen to me, people." But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and of the owner of the ship. You and I know now who is the pilot of our life and who is the owner of our life. God is in charge of our life. Therefore, think of how Paul is saying this, and he's trying to get a point across to us. Who are you going to listen to more? The person with a lot of money, the person that has nothing, the person over here that sort of sees a couple of things like you do, and the other people don't see that couple of things. Listen, the common mistake, we listen to bad advice. The pilot and owner said, don't do it, or go ahead. We follow the crowd, Acts 27, first part of verse 12. Since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail on. Folks, the majority is very seldom right. For one thing, have you ever seen a majority in voting or anything else within your family? When you have a call from God, and then the majority says, no, you don't, and the majority rules, actually, the majority does not rule. God rules. Jesus Christ is the Lord of lords and King of kings. So, Paul's trying to help him out. Of course, he's also attempting to help himself. You know, he's on this big boat I was talking about. We rely on circumstances. Now listen to this. Well, wait a minute, you know, I'll serve the Lord. I'm going to close my eyes. And if the person I prayed about that I wanted their arm healed without having to put a cast on it, and if that person's arm is healed, then, Lord, Circumstances will show me that you're God. Folks, don't play. Don't try to get God to play games with us. For one thing, it has nothing to do with faith. That has to do with doubt. So, Acts 27, first part of verse 13. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought, there they go, getting into that thinking stuff again. They thought they had obtained what they wanted. We got a little breeze, now let's sail on. Ought to be a song on that, Brother Randy, somewhere. Let's just sail on. Number two, determine the result of how we've handled the problems in our life. Determine the result. Here's the question. What does God want me to learn from this difficulty? The question is not, God, why did you do this to me? The question must be, Lord, what can I learn in this mess that I've made in my own life? 2 Corinthians 4:17, these little troubles, Paul's really focusing on this trip and all, but listen, these little troubles, which are temporary. Folks, the troubles we have here on earth are over as soon as we leave the body. Which are temporary, are winning for us a permanent, glorious, and solid reward, all out of proportion to our pain. The rewards that we're going to be seeing, the pain that we had here, it's not even thought of. It's nothing. Right now, it's nothing compared to what we have waiting. Romans 5, 3 through 4. We can rejoice when we run into problems and trials, for we know they help us learn to be patient. And patience develops strength of character in us and helps us trust God more each time. Number three, we need to determine our response to the difficulty. You've got to determine the response. How do I know what the response ought to be? Talk to God about it. Okay, here's the wrong responses. The question was, how should I handle this? Here's the wrong responses. I just drift along. Listen to, here we're getting back on a boat. Acts 27, first part of verse 15. So we gave way to it and were driven along, meaning they were just drifting out there. Hey, we got a little breeze, we're getting out of here, and we're going just great in the right direction, but we cannot drift through life, folks, and make a difference in this world. We have to realize our purpose that is given to us by God, from God, and then we don't drift. We know what direction we're headed. Now, here's another wrong response, just to discard. Oh, okay, Lord, in order to get out of this trouble, I'm going to discard all the garbage in my life. Well, it's one thing to discard it, throw it overboard. It's another thing that after you live through it, you pick it back up. Well, thank you, God. I'm glad you got through with that. You knew I really wasn't serious about telling you I was going to just dump everything. Okay. Acts 27, first part of verse 18. They began to throw the cargo overboard. You see a little of that with Jonah, won't you? Acts 27, 31. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved. Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved. You and I, as Christians, we know the ship. His name is Jesus. And unless we stay with the ship, meaning telling about who Jesus is, the world doesn't have a chance, folks. The world, it does not have a chance when people are saying, yeah, but there's another way. No, there isn't. You got to stay with the ship. You got to know the pilot. And you know the owner. And we don't have to talk sense into the pilot and the owner. What we need to understand is we need to listen to the pilot of our life and the owner of our life and do what he tells us. Paul is telling them the right thing to do. The next wrong response is just to despair. Throw up our hands and say, oh, I just can't go anymore. I just can't do this. Go ahead and sit down. And you will tell yourself that to the point to where you can get up. But when you focus on, look, I'm going to be bouncing up and down here, whether it's during surgery or doing anything else, but I'm not down for the count. When I get down for the count and you get down for the count, you'll hear the Lord doing the counting, not the world or the people around you. So in despair, Acts 27, first part of verse 20, we hear Paul saying, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. You know, that could have been John or Luke, because he stated, well, anyway, no, that is the statement from Paul. We gave up all hope of being saved because things had gotten so bad you could not think that it was possible for them to be saved. Now, here's the right responses. You got that on the third page. Proverbs 28:13. This deals with confess your part in the problems. You can't keep blaming everybody else. That's all you hear anymore. You turn on TV, well, this happened because somebody said something bad to me. They hurt my feelings, so I just quit doing anything just to show them. Or they made me so angry that I just slammed my hand into that concrete block wall and broke every bone in it, and I showed them. And that's about what's going on with the churches, with Christianity. Well, Lord, I'm going to show you what I can do. Don't do that, folks, because we don't even know what we're doing the majority of the time. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring any more than I know what's the next minute, the next hour is going to bring. I don't know what's going to happen to me, neither do you, when we leave this building tonight to go to our homes. I don't know whether a deer's going to cross in the road and I'm going to go to glory. I don't know that. Or I'm going to have my back surgery sooner than I thought that I was going to have it. Okay. A man who refuses, listen to this, Proverbs 28:13. A man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. But if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance. That's great. That's good advice in the corporate world. You look and see what the problems are. And if you don't see a problem, you're not going to forsake that problem. And if you don't forsake the problem, you're in a mess. You lose. So you focus on our mistake. I focus on Larry's mistake, a man who refuses to admit his mistakes. Folks, there are people who refuse they ever made a mistake. Period. Now, confront the difficulty. Here's your scripture for this one. Acts 27, 34 through 40. And I'm going to read the whole thing for you here, because confront the difficulty. So listen how Paul was handling this. Now, I urge you to take some food. This is Paul telling all of them on the big boat, right? I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Folks, as long as we're in this human condition, we have to follow the rules of the law of nature of this human condition that God gave us. And he says, so you need to survive. You eat first. Remember, they were getting ready to throw everything over. If it threw everything over before they ate, So Paul's telling them, now listen to him, not one of you will lose a single hair from his head. After he said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. Then he broke it and began to eat. They were all encouraged, what? By what Paul was doing. He said, eat. So he started eating. And it's sort of like us telling somebody else, don't do this, in the process of us doing it. They were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. Altogether, there were 276 of us on board. Now, that's Luke writing that on here. But anyway, when they had eaten as much as they wanted, they lightened the ship by throwing the grain into the sea. When daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach where they decided to run the ship aground if they could. Cutting loose the anchors, they left them in the sea and at the same time untied the ropes that held the rudders. Then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and made for the beach. Okay, I want you to look at this as an analogy. I want you to look at it that into the face. They had to admit they couldn't be in charge of that ship. They cut everything that would have given the pilot some kind of room to maneuver anything, everything. They threw it, what was left of everything they had on board, into the sea, and they headed without control. They made it for the beach. That's where our life comes in. We cannot control the surroundings. We cannot control what people do to us. But we do know the one who is in control. And if I'm trying to, you know, to figure it out, who was the singer that said, Jesus, take the wheel? Isn't that a beautiful song? Yeah. Jesus, take the wheel. Well, see, that's what needs to happen in our life every day. And one of these days, when we're all together at supper time in glory, one of these days, I truly believe we're going to see exactly how many things in our life that God was watching us right in and leading us through it. We're going to see who the captain truly is. Now, the last thing on the right response is claim God's promise. The captain of the ship and the owner wasn't doing too hot. I can picture now the owner did not want to lose that big boat, because he was the owner of that big boat. And everybody wanted to do their own thing. Some were going to jump overboard. But Paul said, if they jump overboard, everybody else will die. Now, why it was set that way, I don't know. But it made an impression on that whole group that was on there. Because, see, what Paul was telling them as he went along was coming to pass. They said, you know, maybe he really has something here. The centurion, the guard that was guarding him for trial in Rome before Caesar, he's trusting Paul. He's, you know, telling everybody, you guys need to really listen to this man. Okay, claim God's promise, Acts 27, 22 through 25. But now I urge you to keep your courage. Oh, listen to that. Because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. I catch the analogy. The boat, the vehicle. Only this is going down. But not one of you will be lost. Why? Because they had turned their whole situation, every problem in their life, over to the Lord and admitted they could not control. Only Christ could. because not one of you will be lost, only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, now listen, and he's telling them, last night, an angel of the God whose I am and whom I serve stood beside me and said, now picture that. These people on there don't know God. You're obvious, you can listen to him here and saying, Paul is the Christian. Paul knows God, personal relationship. Last night, an angel of God, of the God whose I am and whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. You see God's pattern in exactly that. Everything was working to glorify God the Father. Paul had to get to Rome because the Lord said, you will go to Rome and I'll furnish you transportation. God, if you remember reading that ever, you'll notice Paul saying, how am I going to get over there? I don't think that Paul really thought out that he would be going as a prisoner, but nevertheless, the Lord got him there. Trial before Caesar, and God, listen what the angels tell him, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. Okay, remember again, he told them, if you jump ship, you will die. Only those who stay on board will live. So keep up your courage, men. He's telling them, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Isn't that quite a story of our life and of the lives of every nation?